the Vampire Australia, where three Australians talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode by episode.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mabel.
And I'm Megan. And today we are discussing episode 16 of season 4, Who Are You? The conclusion to the two-part series. Who are you, Chris?
Who the hell am I?
Who the hell are you?
I don't know if this was my favourite episode, but it was definitely Sarah Michelle Gellar's favourite episode. She was eating this shit up.
No.
She came to play. She's like, this has gone on the Emmy reel. I'm getting a nomination this year. Let's go.
I feel though, right? Like, that's it. It felt a bit like an acting exercise.
Mm. Oh, 100%.
Like, she had the physicality down. Like, she was doing all the physical things. But it was completely and totally, what's a good example? What's the word I'm looking for? The imitation thing that, you know, you see some actors do a performance in a movie where they kind of mimic a very well-known character. And then you see Jim Carrey doing fucking Andy Kaufman and you're like, oh, that's how it's done, you know, because it's a true embodiment of the actual person. It's understanding the nuance and you know, motivations that sit behind the person, not just, I'm going to do things that sound and look similar to the character, you know, like that's what this was.
Look, that is fair. That is totally fair. I think she nailed it just quite. Like, for Eliza Dushku, who doesn't really give much, it's not like she is Andy Kaufman and has a particular voice and does a particular, stands a particular way. Like, she, you know, is acting fairly normally most of the time.
Do you know what she missed for me?
Yeah, go on.
The vulnerability of Faith. Faith comes from a place of complete and total lack of self-confidence and vulnerability. Mm. She missed that key element of the character Faith, I think, and that is how Eliza Dushku plays her, and that is what made her characterization not work. She played her like a bitch, not like somebody who is so deathly afraid of being rejected by society that she just pushes everyone away. She just was like, I'm going to be a fucking bitch and enjoy it. No, that's not what Eliza Dushku does. That's not what Faith does, I don't think. That's my personal opinion, but I think that that's what she lost in translation.
Maybe. I think it was all pretty close. I think she did, and for me, I'm probably sitting more on maybe the Chris camp of near enough, good enough kind of thing. Like, I think one of, because it's one of my favorite things of this whole episode, and it's a major part of it, right? Yeah. Like watching Buffy. Well, watching, this is it. Like, I'm a person, and I've maybe said this before, but I find it very easy to immerse myself in stories. Like, I don't see stunt doubles. I just don't. I don't see stunt doubles. Mm. I don't see the acting. I see the character. Mm. So even watching this, I'm like, this is Faith in Buffy's body. And then every now and then I remind myself that it's Sarah Michelle Gellar playing Faith in Buffy's body. And so I'm kind of there along for the ride, enjoying watching Faith be Buffy. And that is really fun. And then occasionally when I do remember that this is a TV show and it's Sarah Michelle Gellar, I try and think about what the difference would be, you know, like what Faith, what Eliza Dushku would actually do as Faith and what the difference is. And I think that's where it's, I think you're right, there probably is an element,
a nuance
that is missing. Yeah. But I think it would have been very hard, right? Because as soon as you add more vulnerability, you risk losing, like, because you're in so you risk losing a bit. Like, it would have to be very precisely done to get 100%.
I couch my criticism in the fact that I am fully aware this is a serial TV show. They have very little time to prep. It's not like she had months in advance to kind of understand the character of Faith before she delivered this performance. And I've been with you, Mabel, this whole time. I'm actually fascinated. I assumed that at least Chris would be like, fucking what? Like, you know, I thought that you would be hounding SMG because you're so anti-Buffy, and I, by extension, assume you're anti-SMG, that I was like watching this with such a critical eye thinking, well, this is how Chris is going to be watching it. And you guys are both like, oh my God, it was good enough. And I'm like, it's just so interesting. This is not what I expected of this conversation. How fascinating.
I do feel the need to set the record straight. Huge fan of SMG. You know, she seems so lovely. You know, she seems like so much fun. Great Instagram follow.
Yeah, great Instagram follow.
Big fan. And Watching this, I reckon she kind of is a little sick of Buffy too. Like some of her line readings where she's really, really mean, she was just eating that shit up. She was all about it.
I was getting a bit of like Cruel Intentions, Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You
know? I agree. Like, I did feel there was very much some Catherine in there. Yeah.
Which I think to your point, Megan, was like the laziness of it. You know? Like she did play it as a bitch and she played it as a Catherine from Cruel Intentions.
Yes.
And that
she didn't play
and
it.
Okay, particularly like the mirror scene, you know, like when she's coming out of the bar.
Yes.
And that whole thing.
Yeah.
That was just big.
Literally, my first note of this entire episode was, what did we think of this mirror scene with SMG playing Faith in Buffy's body?
Okay.
I did not rate it.
I thought it was an all-timer. I thought it's one of the best scenes of Buffy I've seen. I loved it.
Lift rolls. What's happening?
Yeah.
So like,
it looked really good too. The camera quality was just like way better than any other scene Buffy's ever done. Like it's just, I thought it was really, really good.
I thought it was really fun. And like last week when I kept talking about like the thing that stood out to me the most that I was like looking forward to in this episode, it's that whole bit where she's like, I'm Buffy. You can't do that. It's wrong. And she kept like preparing that. Like that is a really iconic part of this episode.
And look, I will say right up the front, I absolutely love the progression of the line, it's wrong, from the start to the end. Love that. She played that really, really well. She played the ending really, really well, I thought. I didn't go along on the journey with her, whereas I did with Eliza Dushku, I've got to say. I do feel like Eliza Dushku really did a better job.
That's so funny. I could not disagree more. I think she was struggling to keep up.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah. I think SMG like nailed some things down about Eliza Dushku, some mannerisms, like some way she like speaks and some little details that she nailed. And I think Eliza Dushku, like she usually is in Buffy, is just trying to keep up. Just trying to keep up with everyone else.
Fascinating.
I think it was probably a harder job for Eliza Dushku, like given like the scenes that she had and what she had to work with to portray Buffy. Like I think it was definitely a harder job.
And it's interesting because, you know, you were saying that like, oh, it's hard to do Faith because there's not that much to work from. But she has a lot of physicality stuff, right? Like the way she swings her legs around. She's really actually quite physical. That's quite Faithy. Whereas Buffy doesn't have as many of those. But I actually thought that Eliza Dushku really picked up on some subtlety in the way that she did it, like the way she grabbed at her hair with her little finger. You know, she did such subtle little things that it was, that's what made it a good performance, that it was so much more subtle. Like I felt like Buffy, SMG just was like, I'm going big or I'm going home. Whereas Eliza Dushku found the subtleties in the character, I felt.
It's funny you mentioned the like hair, like the getting the hair out of the face. Because I watched that and I was like, okay, this is supposed to be the Buffy. Like this is Eliza Dushku getting like a Buffy mannerism. And I'm really struggling to like
recall
see Buffy doing that.
Yeah, that's
does she do that a lot?
I don't know. I don't know actually, now that I think about it.
I watched it happen. I was like, I know this is supposed to be a Buffy mannerism, but I can't actually visualize Buffy doing this.
I'm curious actually, and I should have looked this up and I don't know whether it did happen. I'm interested to know because I know that with other shows, possibly this one too, but with other shows where two people who play another character then have to switch and play each other, they'll often do the scenes twice. They'll do the scene with SMG playing Buffy and then Faith will then watch that, or Eliza Dushku will then watch that and then do the scene herself, right?
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering if they did that.
And I wondered if that was just something that SMG happened to do in the moment. And so Faith copied it. Eliza Dushku copied it. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was interesting. Like, I think for some of the lines, like, again, I love just forgetting about the behind the scenes and I just watch this and I accept that they switched bodies and that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
But from the few moments I was thinking about it, it's interesting thinking about how similar Faith and Buffy's lines are sometimes, like the dialogue and writing. Some of their like catchphrasey tones is actually
100%
very similar, which again, I think just makes it that much harder for them to distinguish the characters in different bodies. Like a lot of the lines are very similar.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting to notice.
It is interesting to notice. I actually wrote that. So at one point I said, I feel like SMG got the physicality down, but it was superficial and the line delivery was not as good. But I said also from a script point of view, I just don't remember Faith being so downright mean to people. And I just felt like maybe there was a a scripting issue. I just felt like maybe the writing wasn't quite good enough, wasn't quite strong enough. They got confused in their own heads about who was saying what line almost. I don't know. Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
I guess Faith was also getting pretty cocky. Like, she thought she'd gotten away with it.
Yeah. And I do have to remember that she had turned evil before she went into a coma. So she was pretty bitchy, I guess, by the end.
That's true.
Yeah.
Who could have seen this coming? Who had this on their Buffy Vampire Australia bingo card? That we do a complete 180. It's like the show. We've switched bodies. Me and Megan have switched bodies.
Oh, my God.
We switched opinions.
So meta.
It really is.
Oh, my God. How do we manage to just elevate this podcast time and time again?
Time and time again.
How do we do it?
All right. I'm going to do, because I haven't even done the thing about who it's.
Oh, yeah.
So this episode was written by Joss Whedon, directed by Joss Whedon. Synopsis, the conclusion of a two-part episode when Faith returns. Yeah. Buffy battles to escape the clutches of the Watchers Council Special Operations Team, who plan to send her to England, while Faith continues to wreak havoc in the lives of Buffy's family and friends. Meanwhile, it's Willow and Tara who figure out Buffy's whereabouts, but not before Faith has done some serious damage to Buffy's relationship with Riley.
Does happen.
I mean, so we've already talked a lot about the body switching element.
Yeah.
But overall, this episode's pretty solid, right?
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
You know?
100%.
Like, yeah. I think there's so, like, I think we're going to kind of, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff we have to touch on lightly, because I think everything in this episode was kind of great.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I actually don't think we'll have that much to say, because it was pretty bloody good. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing this thing in the last few episodes. I have the episode, like, in another tab. I just sort of watch parts of it to sort of refresh
as we're going
me on what's happened. I'm going over this mirror scene again. Man, I love this mirror scene so much. Have you ever done this, Megan? Like, you just like look in the mirror and you just like, sometimes you just don't recognize yourself and you're just like, am I?
Daily.
Here, is this me?
Daily.
There you go. And it's just like that whole experience, you know? I don't know.
It's funny. I don't know whether it was just the mood I was in today when I was watching it or what, but I was just really hypercritical. I don't really know why. I never have been before. I've always enjoyed this episode and I still enjoyed it, but I was just really, I just kept waiting to see Faith and I just felt like I wasn't. It's interesting.
Interesting.
All right. But yeah, I mean, I think throughout it, like whenever we especially saw Sarah, like Buffy, Faith as Buffy, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar being Faith as Buffy, I think throughout the whole episode, you got a lot of like how great it is for her to, I don't know, be in someone else's shoes. Like even from the very start of the episode when she's talking with Joyce and they're talking about Faith and she's already getting a glimpse of like talking about herself as Buffy. And I think the whole episode did a really good like, you know, spend a day walking in someone else's shoes, you know, right up to the very kind of like emotional.
Very emotional conclusion.
Climax, we get for Faith. Like it was carried throughout the whole episode really well, where I feel like sometimes maybe for some episodes of Buffy, they have a really good conclusion and a really good premise and idea, but it only like
reveals
in a few scenes.
Yes.
You know, like it only comes up a little bit and then you get the big ending, whereas this one really was quite consistent throughout the episode, I thought.
And what I did love was, similar to your point, Mabel, is just, you know, obviously she was pretending to be Buffy. Like she was SMG playing Faith, pretending to be Buffy. And I should add that layer. That's a fucking hard character to play, actually. You know, that is a massive layer to add onto that. But also it's interesting because obviously she kept having to use specific language when she talked about Faith. But she was really quite harsh about Faith. And it was quite interesting, you know, even from the very beginning, seeing her language towards, you know, essentially herself, and she was being quite harsh. And it became very clear, I think, quite early on. I mean, maybe just because I've seen it so many times, but for me it became clear quite early on just how much she actually doesn't like herself, you know?
Yeah.
And doesn't like who she's
doesn't
become.
Like herself and assumes that the world sees her the same way. Like, I think from the very beginning, I was almost like comforted on her behalf. Not that I think she necessarily took great comfort in it at the time, but for her to assume that everyone wants to just double down on Faith and her mum's the first one to be like, Buffy, you know, what are you saying?
Yeah.
You know? And just like a glimpse that maybe everyone isn't just shitting on Faith all the time behind her back. You know, I was just like, oh, she gets to witness this. And that was just the very beginning of the episode. You know, we get so much more, but I really liked that.
Yes. So, yes, obviously we're basically at Buffy's house for a bit with, you know, SMG as Faith playing Buffy. Whoa, mm-hmm. This is going to be difficult to talk about.
Yeah.
And they talk about Faith, and then Buffy goes and has a bath and then chooses Faith's lipstick. And
palette.
Joyce comments on it, and Buffy tells her to burn it. Faith, Buffy mm-hmm. tells her to burn it.
Mm-hmm. Just really quickly, like going back, the brief bit at the start of the episode where the cop is taking, what are we calling her?
Faith Buffy.
Buffy Faith, whatever. Anyway, Buffy. Taking Buffy away in Faith's body.
Yeah.
He's so Cali in his language, you know? He goes, yeah, this Faith chick, I know. Definitely dangerous.
It's a weird choice. Yeah.
So
he's a weird choice. Oh, yeah, and she buys a plane ticket with Joyce's credit card. But after she buys the plane ticket, she then asks if tomorrow morning is the earliest flight out, which seems a weird question to ask at the end of the transaction, but whatever.
Yep. Did it used to be this easy to book flights over the phone? Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine doing that.
No, yeah, I've definitely bought flights.
Can you still do it?
I think you can, but it costs more.
Oh.
I'm sure there's some oldies that.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, they also often go through a travel agent these days, the oldies.
Yeah, true.
So then we cut to, and I've written a note, things are getting sexy with Willow and Tara. So obviously we're at Willow and Tara's house now. And I don't even know.
They were
just having one discussion, but literally from the moment you enter the room with Willow and Tara, there's like this heightened little, because she's all like, I am, you know, what? Yours. It's all very sexy.
Mm.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And then they have the orgasmic spell later that
really
sends it all home.
We'll just talk about that later. an armored truck comes and steals Buffy in Faith's body from the back of the cop car.
Yep.
That was something.
Watch is going to watch.
But this is again what I liked from the, because I don't think Buffy or anyone really, but especially Buffy, I don't think anyone had really truly hated Faith. You know, they obviously were against her and she was evil and she'd been like psychotically murderous and done all this crap. So they weren't like super sympathetic, but they didn't outright hate her just for being her.
They still wanted to rehabilitate her if there was a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Like they weren't malicious about it, especially. We get all this Buffy experiencing what Faith has to go through, you know, like Buffy, not just with the law, but like the council treating her like a piece of trash and them just wanting to murder her and spitting in her face and stuff. I just thought that was another. I feel better knowing that Buffy knows firsthand kind of what the other side.
I agree. And I think, you know, you really obviously right at the end, there's that beautiful moment. But also I just think generally the whole episode, she's had this opportunity to really understand what it's like to be somebody who is ostracized and feels that feeling of being ostracized, you know, 24/7. Everybody makes you feel like you're not worthy. And I imagine her having experienced that for the whole episode makes her even more able to understand at the end, you know? Yeah.
Because, I mean, back when Faith was, you know, more part of the show, we commented a lot on just like the extreme divide of advantage between Buffy and Faith. Yeah. And so this is just an example of like, you know, you get dealt a shitty hand. In this case, you get dealt into the body of someone who's been dealt a shitty hand, and it just changes your whole trajectory.
Yeah.
You know, this is quite an extreme version, but like,
yeah.
It worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't actually think about that when I was watching it, but like the whole way through, like she's trying to reason with these people, but she's just being taken by the cops and they won't listen to her, and then taken to a hospital and they won't listen to her, and then stolen by the Watchers' Council and they won't listen to her, and there's just nothing she can do.
And she's they're going to murder her. Like the council, they're like, literally. Oh, we can't transport her, so just kill her.
Just
you know, like no questions asked. We're going to kill her.
Fucking Watchers' Council.
Oh, God. Nah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so interesting. And look, do you know what? It's interesting because, again, I, you know, just coming back to the fact that we've totally flipped this time, I think it all comes back to the fact that I've had this massive epiphany about the character Faith, you know, because I see this nuance in her, this vulnerability now. And that's what I think, you know, again, what I think Buffy missed or SMG missed. And so I think that's, I have so much empathy towards the character of Faith now. I think that's what it is. That's what's strange.
I hear it in you every time we talk about Faith, because it really, like, you flipped so hard. And you flipped early. So you've been on the Faith train for a while now.
I have.
When we first saw Faith again in this rewatch, like, You will not have it.
I was just like, fuck, Faith.
I'm just, I'm like looking forward still to just like more future Faith development, whatever that may or may not be.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we get.
So we leave Buffy in Faith's body and we go back to Faith in Buffy's body, and she rocks up at Giles' apartment with Xander and Willow and everybody.
Everybody.
The whole gang.
Because she doesn't know Anya's name.
That's right.
Yeah. So I loved all the little bits, her with Anya and her with Spike and her with Tara.
I've got some issues with the Spike one. We'll get
there. No, I mean, same.
Yeah. But not even SMG, just even some of the scripting. I'll get to it.
Oh, yeah. I'm mainly just up with the scripting.
Okay, good. Yeah. So Giles tells them that the Watchers Council have taken Faith as they know it and are going to take her back to England. And Faith's Buffy is ecstatic. She's excited. She's ready to party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her just bursting into laughter when she hears that, you know, Buffy and Faith's body is being sent to England. Like, I kind of think that's kind of quite realistic that she's just flipped buddies and it's been 2 seconds and then she's like, wait, she's being sent to England?
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's like, phew.
I feel like
I have you would won. This is awesome. Yeah.
She, I was like, I couldn't even have planned it this well. Yeah. It was pretty good.
So she says she's going to go on patrol and everyone should just chill out. And she's very good at covering the fact that she doesn't know stuff. Like, you know, the whole Adam thing. She's just like, what's up with him?
It's pretty smooth.
Super smooth. And then we bump into Spike. And would Spike not find it odd that Buffy asks if he's a vampire? You know, Buffy's all like, so you're a vampire.
Yeah. But I think Spike thinks so low of all these people anyway. Like, he does think they're idiots. So, like, you know, it wouldn't even surprise him.
I think he's sort of in a bit of, like, a self-involved period of his life here. You're, like, dealing with the chip and, like, he can't, you know, he's being ostracized from the demon community because he's been fighting demons and stuff, that he hears it as, like, well, you're a vampire. And then he's almost, like, defensive. He's like, well, I was a vampire. Sure. You know, like, he's not even really thinking about it.
He is
like,
very narcissistic.
All right, second question then.
Yeah.
Would Faith really know who William the Bloody is? She's hardly the research girl.
I know. I was like, what watcher training did she have? Like, when did she read a book?
She never. Yeah. She doesn't know who William the Bloody is. Are you serious?
And for reading Spike? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe it's the mayor's like bedtime reading or something.
Mm.
You would read
But the mayor knew Spike. So if she'd been talking to the mayor about it, she'd have known that he was Spike.
That's true.
In fact, it's really surprising that she never met Spike.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, actually.
Yeah.
Mm. I will say, they've just completely subbed in, because Angel used to pop up for these random scenes.
Yes, really 100%. Random, just like, Spike is the new Angel. Throwaway,
nothing scenes.
Especially at the Bronze. Like, it's really just a sub.
Now they've just subbed in Spike, and Spike is so much better at it. I'm so much up for it. There's, like, Spike being funny and doing something silly. And,
also, how is he when he, like, stalks away and then hurts himself because he's trying to push through the crowd? And
such a good detail.
That's great.
I did really enjoy her little speech about riding him like whatever and then he's going to pop like warm champagne. That was quite the speech. My goodness.
Certainly was.
It made me uncomfortable.
Yep. Same. Same here.
Extremely explicit. Especially like I think as someone who watched this as a child, I think I almost enjoyed it more when I didn't know
what it was.
Just how explicit it was. Like, I knew it was sexy. I knew it was sexual in nature. But I just thought it was like how all adult sex speak is, you know, just like random.
Sure.
And just, it's all about the tone. And now it's just,
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Like, the imagery is a lot.
Visceral.
It's visceral. Yeah. It's visceral. That is exactly what it is.
Yes.
So anyway, Adam's found some followers.
The title just applies to everyone in this episode, you know? Like,
who are you?
Adam knows who he is.
Adam knows who he is. And he's going to tell these vampires who they are.
Yeah.
Do we know who they are, though? I think we should find out.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be time. Two. Name that minor character!
Forgot.
Today's minor character is Boone, the lead vampire.
Oh, the lead one.
Spoiler alert, says my favourite quote this episode.
Interesting.
Yeah. He is played by Rick Steer. Now, this is a
great actor's name.
Character. It is a great actor's name. Yeah. S-T-E-A-R. Which is unexpected.
Even better porn star name.
It's a great porn star name. Now, Mr. Steer has eight acting credits to his name. I got eight.
This looks bad.
Yeah.
This looks tough.
I don't even know if you will know any of the others. No, there is nothing else God. That you will know. This is the minorest of all minor characters that we've had. But, you know, I didn't have a lot of choices, if I'm honest.
He didn't do a bad job as far as
I thought he was good.
Vampire good.
Yeah, I tried to find out who he was and find out why he isn't acting anymore, but I couldn't find anything.
Maybe he just wasn't interested.
Maybe he just wasn't into it. Yeah. Just couldn't, like, it's not hard so long.
No, this screams to me, I'm looking into IMDb right now.
Yeah.
This screams to me, I moved to LA to give it a crack, and I got a couple bit parts in some TV shows and nothing else.
And
I've just run out of money and gone home.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, well, because, 98, he did something called Went to Coney Island on a Mission from God, Be Back by Five. I mean, how that didn't become a popular movie is beyond me.
What a title.
I mean, but, like, hench vampire in a Buffy episode. Like, that's bragging credits for life, right? Like, 100%. I'd be so pleased with that.
Yeah, that's true.
So it took him 2 years then to get that, because he did another one. He did Twelfth Night or What You Will, and a TV movie in 98. And then it wasn't until 2000, obviously, that he did this episode. Then he did another thing in a movie called Astoria. I reckon he was just, like, hanging out with mates that he'd met and making films.
Yeah.
And then he was in a TV series for one episode in 2005. So 5 years later, he got his next thing for one episode as Mr. Logan. Then he was in another movie in 2005, Xerophilia. I haven't heard any of these. And then 2 years later, he did the Warrior Class video, and then one episode as Bill Martin in a TV series called As the World Turns, and then he went, fuck this, I'm going home. Where was he born? He was born in Pennsylvania, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Allentown, Pennsylvania.
So the fact that it says that in his bio, like, he was born on this date in this city, it means at one point he had an agent.
Yep. Yeah.
And they didn't do a very good job.
Yeah. Or maybe he's just...
So, I mean,
this was a great part. This was a great part. He at least got
He
it.
Nailed the part. He absolutely nailed this part. He deserved more of a run.
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
Click on other works.
Oh.
Okay. Our boy's on quite a bit of stage theatre.
I was just about to say, I wondered if he was on a stage. He was doing stage.
He's done
stuff
it. He's a bit of a Shakespeare boy.
Yeah, I wondered if he was doing.
Well, yeah.
Stage
when you said the Twelfth Night, like, was that?
He seemed like a bit of a spoof in the Twelfth Night, but he was in an actual production of Hold the Phone of the Twelfth Night at the Old Globe Theatre, San Diego. Hold on.
Where are you looking at this?
The ups and downs of this minor character. Oh, in San Diego.
Never mind.
The Old Globe Theatre. Bracket San Diego.
Oh, Ricky.
Yeah, I reckon we can call it.
I think we can move along here. I'm feeling
Look,
sad.
This is what Name That Minor Character is all about. Occasionally,
that's right.
It's about championing someone who might otherwise have gone completely unnoticed. So Rick Steer.
Yeah, take the good with the bad.
Cheers to you, Rick Steer. Congratulations, you nailed Boone. Well done.
You understood the assignment. It was a minor character.
Yeah.
That's right. They can't all be Pedro Pascal.
And, so Adam is just discussing with the vampires how they fear things that they shouldn't because they're immortal. I mean, but are they?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, they are immortal, but they are not unkillable.
No.
They should
just kind of drone on, old Adam.
Yeah, he does. He loves the sound of his own voice.
Because he's all like, I have a gift that no demon has. I know why I was created. Blah.
Yeah.
And he
nailed
he goes
that
with,
nailed that impersonation, by the way, Mabel.
Yeah, it was
nailed
pretty good.
It.
Thank you. Thank you. I should star my own IMDb. he goes, I was created to kill, to extinguish life wherever I find it.
Mm.
Where is he, like, is he getting this from, like, Maggie Walsh's notes, or has he just inferred this? Because
no,
surely,
yeah, he's got the notes. He did the disc thing, remember?
But, like, so did Maggie Walsh actually create him to extinguish life wherever he found it? Because surely she had some warped idea about him being a tool for the government to use for some version of good, right?
Well, she was still tinkering, right? She wasn't finished.
She hadn't finished.
So it's like, we'll figure out the killing part first and then we'll figure out the sparing part later.
Yeah. So were her notes really so explicit that he's now going around being like, my purpose in life is to extinguish life wherever I find it. Like, surely he's smart enough to be like, there's some pieces missing in these notes.
Here's the thing, right? After Maggie was killed, wasn't there a whole thing about how he was trying to discover what he is? I know who he says, yeah. I know what I am, but who am I or something, or the other way around.
Yeah.
So he had this whole arc about how he didn't know what he was here for, but now he's figured it out for himself. I think he's just figured it out for himself. I think he's just made a decision.
Yeah, I think he got lazy and just made it up because I don't see. I reckon it's the demon. It's probably like the demon body parts that are still attached to him. They're all like feeding into his brain and they're like, kill, kill. And it's probably just his demon body parts and their residual evil nature.
I just know that it's just going to get so much worse with Adam from here.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
100%.
I become very aware.
I don't know.
I think you're being optimistic that it's going to be better.
Could have given you that idea.
It's not even you guys. I was chatting with
him. You can just tell, right? You can tell from just seeing him be here.
Well, in all honesty, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually think I can. I think, yes.
Anyway, it's not a great
character. Let's move along.
Yeah. And so, fortunately, he was a very small part of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't ruin it by trying to, you know, do more Adam stuff. They just kept him on the peripherals. Yeah. And I'm glad.
Yeah, yes. Me too. So Buffy in Faith's body wakes to find out that the council has kidnapped her. My note here is, ew, these council guys are so gross.
They all are, except Giles.
They're just the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she kind of like, she does this whole thing where she's like, tries to like escape by holding one of them hostage and doesn't work.
No. They're like, yep, kill him. We were prepared for this.
We're ready.
Pretty rough.
Are we seriously? I mean, who the fuck are these guys?
I'm still so curious, like there's always, I mean, barring the exception of like Kendra and Faith now, but like historically, there's been one slayer at a time. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the council doing? What are their other projects? Like, why do they have all of this muscle at their dispense that they're just sending around to black ops, kill people, no questions asked? Like, what are they doing?
It's crazy.
They don't even have a slayer on their payroll anymore. No. Not that she was ever getting paid, but like, they don't even have a slayer anymore. Like, their entire organization is redundant.
Do you know what this smacks of to me is, and I say this as somebody who has worked for this particular organization for many years at different times of my life, it's very government. You know, it's this whole organization of people who have one job really, and there's a whole bunch of people just trying to convince you that they are important somehow to completing that one job, you know, and so they should stay on the payroll. That's what the Watchers' Council is. It's basically the government.
Yeah, it's that thing where you keep having to hire new managers to figure out what your current people are doing, and everyone's on an ongoing contract, so you can't actually remove anybody.
And so you just either have to keep hiring move them sideways managers. Or you, in fact, promote them to get them out because they're useless. So you're like, here's a better job. Go and do that instead so that you get the fuck out of my team.
Yeah.
Oh, government. It's tough. It's, yeah. Hashtag not all government employees.
I am still a very loyal public servant, and if anyone listening,
as am I.
I am representing departmental values as we speak right now.
Hashtag not all public servants.
But a lot of them.
Yeah. So we're back at the Bronze, and Willow, has gone to the Bronze with Tara, assuming that no one would be there that she would have to introduce Tara to because she's been trying to keep her like under wraps. But then she's super pumped because Buffy's there and she's going to introduce her. But Buffy is a bitch.
Yeah.
Sums up with Buffy.
Sums up with Buffy.
Every time I watch this episode, I go through the same like instant roller coaster where first my heart like plummets because she's such a bitch to Tara and like this is their first time meeting. I'm like, oh no, like poor, gentle, innocent Tara. Yeah. And then you immediately find out that Tara like picked it right
straight away.
You
know? Yeah, go back to their place. And she's like, that's not your friend. I loved it.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, good.
And
like,
it gives you this insight that Tara's actually a lot stronger than you think she is, right? Like, she's actually got something, you know, she's actually quite strong in herself, you know, and she knows things. Yeah.
Very smart.
So they're going to do a ritual, which we'll get to later, to locate Buffy's real energy. Then Faith in Buffy's body goes to visit the boyfriend.
Oof.
Goes to see
Yeah, I wasn't looking forward to this. You knew it was coming.
Yeah. This also, it's a very interesting scene, I think. Like, I don't know, the way Faith in Buffy's body is reacting to the whole sexual scene unfold, I just feel like... I could talk at great length about the whole thing and what it reflects about.
Do you want to know what my one note is, Mabel? And this is, again, so reflective of how I feel about Faith now. It is really sad to think that Faith has never before experienced intimacy with someone who loved her.
100%.
That is
like you get
so
that immediately.
Sad. Oh.
Not only, like, I think it gets more and more difficult for her. Obviously, right until the, like, she, like, to be with someone that's genuinely wholeheartedly in love with the person that they're having sex with. But even from the very beginning, like you can tell she's come from that, which I think is like very common from women as well, like figuring out how to be a partner in sex when so often you've been like the sexual object and trying to almost like take yourself out of a position of vulnerability by putting like yourself
being
in
the one,
position of control.
And like being in control and being powerful, but actually you have no control and you have no power. Yeah,
exactly. And trying to make sure that you're not feeling like, you know, someone else is taking control of you in a sexual context, so you flip it the other way. And it's just, it's very textbook, that beginning when she's trying to like, you know, play games and role play and like ask him what he wants and like play that part, which again just makes me really sad for
I that. Know again, all new feelings for me. This is like, I remember the first time I watched this and I was like, fucking Faith, what a bitch. And now I'm just like, oh my God, Faith, you are just so sad. I'm so...
But you don't even... I think a lot of it is like you don't even have to be like a like sad Faith to relate or experience that. I think it's so common of just like young women in general, which 100%. They all are, you know, like this time in college. I feel like so many people are going into sexual experiences with that mindset of like how to feel in control and not
everything
feel
you've just
like they're in danger.
Everything you've just said, Mabel, has rung true for my past experiences. Like, you know, I mean, not to give too much insight into my life and my relationships, but I remember being really confused when I started dating my current forever partner, that we didn't have sex the first few times we went out. And he was really respectful and wanted to take it slow. And I was just like, really? And then, like, was just, like, all about me. And I was like, what's going on? This isn't right. I was so I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it because I'd never had it before. Like, I was 35 when I met him. That is outrageous. That is, yeah.
We need better sex education.
Yes, we do.
Speaking of sex education, check out our sister podcast.
Nice segue.
Always be plugging.
But yeah, so as much as like, you know, in terms of actually like Faith seducing Riley and Buffy's buddy, like it was always going to happen and I was always going to be like, ugh, you know, body switching sex is always an uncomfortable scenario.
Yeah.
The rest of it I find very interesting in terms of what we see of Faith's character. The end always kind of throws me. Like, it feels really weird. I don't know about you guys, but I find it kind of jarring when we sort of cut from, like, the Tara Willow spell, mm-hmm. and then Riley says he loves her and she freaks out. Mm. But a lot of the dialogue kind of confuses me, where I get confused of if this is still Faith or not, and then it finishes and I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, it was, and she is just being freaked out by it. Yeah. But I don't know if it's just me, but it kind of took me out of it a little bit.
I thought they switched. I thought they'd switch back. He said, I love you, and I thought they switched. It was like, and they switched back, and it was Buffy.
Oh, you thought that was like the back. Key to the spell.
I was super confused here. I was super confused.
Because she's always like, who are you? What do you want from me? And I, like, again, you can kind of make it fit the context, but I think in the scene it's very confusing.
Yeah. I was totally lost.
She gets up in the morning and tries to just get on out and dresses in this. This is a complete random aside. I find women wearing oversized men's shirts very sexy. I don't know what it is. That is a sexy look on a girl. That's all.
I thought I was going to go the opposite way for a second, though.
It's very sexy.
You think so too? Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, very sexy.
That's great.
Do you also agree, Chris?
I just like shirts.
Yeah.
I'm just a button down on anybody. Like a loose shirt.
Especially with the sleeves rolled up.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Forearms.
Rolled up. Button.
Forearms are sexy. I'm telling you. Yeah.
I've only got two. Forearms. Oh, yeah. How can a man compare with these?
I'm glad you said what I was thinking, Chris.
Body. Anyway.
So she has this like moment with, oh my God, they've literally, Forrest is just this character designed to just be a total fuckwit all the time.
So this interaction with Forrest kind of threw me for a second and had me thinking, because he gets really defensive and he's really defensive of Riley. Is he in love with Riley? Watching this scene this time, I was like, wait, this is more than just a friend. Like this isn't how a friend talks to a girl his friend is talking about.
I love that. I think that's true.
That makes so much sense.
Doesn't it?
You've blown this wide open, Chris. That actually totally checks
out. Holy shit.
Wow.
Holy shit.
And if it wasn't in the script, the guy who played Forrest 100% made that choice in his acting.
It's the only way it makes sense.
You're a genius.
You are a genius. That is brilliant.
I feel so much more at peace now with my life. Like, I feel my whole life I'm walking around day to day, going about my business, thinking about how Forrest is just such an inexplicable dickhead. And now I finally can put that thought
to rest. It's no longer inexplicable. He's a dickhead for a reason. He's a reasonable dickhead.
He's just in love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that.
Wow. You've changed our lives, Chris. You changed our lives tonight.
Thank you. That's what I try to do.
So we do some more time with Adam. I try not to spend too much time there.
Yada yada.
We spend some more time with the council, where they decide they're going to kill Faith. And I do, come on, you've got to appreciate Eliza Dushku's acting when she's about to drive the vehicle. That was amazing, where she's just like, I could do this. That was a classic Buffy I cannot fucking drive moment.
I very much saw Buffy in that. Was... like, you almost like flashback all the way to season one driving lessons, you know, like full Buffy.
I was more distracted by the watcher guy that she almost killed shooting after the car when she was driving off. He's like shooting the car, and like some of these people, like, you know, I'm not like a gun expert or anything, but I know they have recoil. Yes. When you shoot, the gun bounces back. And some people in action scenes like this will do like the uns.
Yep. They'll make it.
They sort of do it like old school, like finger guns, like a child would.
Yeah.
It looks so dumb. You know, it kills me every time.
Yeah, that prop gun is clearly way too light for him to do anything
exactly.
with it.
Yes. Then at some point in here, we get sexy spell time. I can't remember exactly when that happened.
We've skipped over it, but it happens.
It happened.
Yeah.
Boy, it happens.
It was a little overdone, I think.
Overdone?
I get what they were trying to do. She was having an orgasm, et cetera. It felt. I felt awkward about it.
Look, I don't want to go like full spoiler or anything, but look, Chris already knows there's a musical.
Yeah.
And I do. Megan, you know what I'm talking about.
I know
about
what you're talking about.
So, mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Fair. But equally, this is just a spell.
I know. And this just made me think of that. And it's equally, if not more,
uncomfortable. Over the it's top. Just, and I mean, because she's all like, Tara is sweaty AF.
I know.
Why is she and they're so like, sweaty?
Their chests are heaving and like the breath and the steam and the.
Oh,
it's so intense so... going to the nether realm also. Oh, just yeah. like, can we yeah. take a moment?
Yes.
Yeah. They're heading to the nether realm together.
I never put that into it. Oh my God, amazing.
I just, as we've been speaking about this, have made that connection.
Yeah, got it.
The nether realm can be really intense. Got it. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Real horn dog episode.
Such a horn dog episode.
What really do we think? Was. Like going back a little bit, because this is, okay, so we're getting a lot of like romantic sexual energy between Willow and Tara, which has been less explicitly hinted at in previous episodes. And then we get Faith in Buffy's body full on calling it out to Tara's face, uh-huh. you know? And this is like the only time we've ever talked about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it kind of actually is the first time they sort of talk about it like that. Like, Willow's not driving stick anymore. I've never heard yeah, it phrased
it's
like
not
that.
Great.
Yeah.
No.
I'm curious as well, like, how this was at the time of the show coming yeah. out. Because I feel like a lot of people wouldn't have necessarily picked up on
so
the hints.
My...
You know, like, two women being friends would have been, you know, always.
My understanding and. I'm more than happy to be corrected by somebody, but I believe I am stating fact here that the kiss between Willow and Tara in season five.
Spoilers here, hello.
Is, I'm sorry. That's the first time a kiss has been seen on network television between two
wow.
women.
Really?
So it was very much ahead of its time. I am a little disappointed, now that you've pointed it out, Mabel, that the first time they explicitly call it out, they do it negatively. And I know that yeah. it was a part of the character of Faith, but I felt that that was a really disappointing way to bring it out.
It didn't come across as super negative. I feel like it was inherently negative in the sense that, like, it was using negative language of the times. I feel like in terms of judgment from Faith, that didn't really come across. Faith was very much like, oh, okay.
I did feel like she was trying to shame her a little bit or make her uncomfortable. And, like, because then she started talking about Oz and how much she loved Oz. And I don't think that she was necessarily meaning it in the way of, like, you know, oh, you know. Like, if it had been a girl that Willow had been with before, she would have still said the same thing. But equally, I don't know, it was just so... yeah, it was just a negative way to manage it. And it is
yeah,
disappointing that the first time that they actually explicitly say something that makes it very clear is a negative thing. Yeah, it's just a bit of a shame.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of what, like, broke my heart so much more with, like, just, like, Tara getting that as her first Buffy experience
yeah.
before I realized that Tara picked up on the bad energy.
Yeah.
But it's just so much worse to be, like, aggressively outed by someone so aggressive
yeah
as well.
So aggressive. So
really yeah. quickly, I've done a little bit of research, so definitely not the first kiss, but from skimming some stuff, it seems like this was the first. So apparently it's actually quite interesting. So I googled like lesbian kiss blah 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 blah, or woman on woman kiss,
just made me let Bella know what you were searching.
Yeah. there is a Wikipedia article called Lesbian Kiss Episode. And it seems like this is like this weird subgenre that TV shows just do. Yeah. And it's just like, hey, this is the lesbian kiss episode where our female protagonist just kisses another girl.
This was the first
relationship.
That's right. Was this the first
this
kiss
like, seems like the more
long-term lesbian relationship? Yes. That's what it was.
And in one of the opening paragraphs, it quotes Marty Noxon, who talks about how they've got resistance.
Yeah, I think they had to fight for it. And obviously they couldn't do it in those first few early days of their relationship because it was not allowed. Basically.
Oh, I'm going to read the final sentence of this paragraph. It's really good. Noxon spoke of the resistance Buffy writers encountered in 2002, saying in an interview, "You can show girls kissing once, but you can't show them kissing twice because the second time, it means they liked it."
I Just got goosebumps all up and down my body.
Marnie Noxon.
Jesus.
She's a writer. Wow. She's a writer.
This is so, yeah, that's such a more interesting lens to put this on, you know, the fact that
they had to be really,
people...
you know, and it's interesting.
Did the slow
like,
burn.
I do come at the whole representation of Willow and Tara's relationship in an interesting way because when I was watching Buffy for the first time, I was a very ignorant heterosexual douchebag in my, you know, late teens. And I had some lesbian friends who got very frustrated with the way that they were representing Willow and Tara. And I, at the time, was like, what are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with it. And so now I look back on it and I apply that lens to it because of their negativity towards it. But actually, it's quite interesting when you delve down into it, how difficult it was to represent these relationships and get them through the censors. You know, like it's frustrating for the lesbian sitting there going, why the fuck aren't you representing my relationship better on screen? But equally, they were really trying, I think. And so they had to do it in all these really subtle ways in these early days because they couldn't be too explicit, which is just ridiculous. Yes. Very interesting. God, we've ended up talking about this episode way more than I thought we would.
I know. This is interesting.
Yes. So Faith is Buffy. I mean, Buffy is Faith. No, wait. Faith in Buffy's body is at Sunnydale Airport, preparing to leave town when she sees a news story online. And then we go to Buffy and Faith's body cutting to Giles, coming to Giles' place and being all like, you have to believe that I'm me because I believed you were you when you were a Fiaral demon. And then Willow walks in and is like, hey, Buffy. Which I thought was great.
That was good. And Giles is just like, you're doing much better at this.
Yes, well, she seems to understand much better than I do. So they conjured a version of the Cutra, which is the thing that Faith used to switch the bodies in the first place. And so now both Faith as Buffy and Buffy as Faith have seen the TV news saying that there are something holding up at a church, holding people hostage. What could go wrong?
I love so much about this, like, culmination of the whole two-part episode. You know, I love the, like, this is like a test of, not a test of faith, but a test of faith of the person, you know. You know, because she doesn't know that Buffy is out there. And so
she's the only slayer at this point,
like,
yes.
You know, I'm the only slayer. What am I going to do about it? And then there's also this kind of commonality between them. It's just kind of drawing, once again, the line that they are both slayers and they do both feel the same thing.
They're compelled. They're compelled to save people.
Yeah.
You know?
As different as they are, they have this common thread between them and it does kind of bind them in a certain way. And so I kind of love seeing them meet with that but also have the fight and the differences and everything. And I'm really into it.
Yeah, I agree. Riley is also at the church because he was late to church. Classic Riley.
Yeah,
I agree.
That line sent me. It's like because he was dressed up for it too, you know. And I just thought, oh, definitely.
I love it because it always like first you could always be like, why is he here? Why is he getting called in? What's he doing in this suit? And then he's like, oh, I was just late for church.
Yeah,
I
just play and right
like,
into
oh,
it.
There's farm boy Riley again.
Milk toast Riley. At it again.
And yes, and we have actually gone to the vampires and they're like talking up that they're like in control now because Adam has shown them the way. And Faith in Buffy's body goes in and starts wailing on the vampires. I do really also like how she's just like jabs Riley in the stomach and is like, I can't use you. Ouch.
I know. Seriously. Does Riley still, after, like, does he still not get that a Slayer can handle three vampires?
I know. Like, oh, my God. Oh, we're disassembling the squat tomb.
There's three of them.
We're disassembling the squat tomb. How many fucking people are you going to use to take down three vampires? Seriously.
She eats that shit for breakfast, man. Get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
He's trying to help. Acts of service, like, you know. It's his love language.
Yourself,
he's just trying to say he loves her. That's all.
There's three measly Runaway Vampires. This isn't even like the fancy warriors from whoever with whatever. That even the fancy three warriors were easy to kill. You know, those ones that we can't remember the names of.
Yeah,
it's Rick Steak for crying out
loud. These are just street vamps. Yep. You know,
She could take three street vamps. They were just like hanging out in a cave. Seriously, like oh my god, in a
street vamps.
And I mean,
accessible.
She dispatches two of them pretty fucking quickly, let's be honest.
That she does.
Yeah.
But she's having a little bit of trouble with the third. Cue Faith as Buffy arriving. No, Buffy is Faith arriving with the gang who distract the cop with some hysterical overacting.
Hilarious.
Top-notch Giles here. Top-shelf Giles.
Giles, like, yes.
That's why we love him.
We love him. And
you get the kind of, like, take two where, like, the second Slayer is on scene and also asking Riley how many's in there, but Riley has no idea who she is. And he's like,
"This is great.
Wait,
who are you?"
I forgot. Like, he's almost about to answer. She's like, "How many are in there?" And he's like, "Oh."
Who are you? That was great. He played that so well. That was a very funny moment. Yeah, I enjoyed that. And she dusts the final vampire. So then Faith in Buffy's body.
And emerges through the dust cloud. Oh, also,
I really enjoyed the spin dust scene.
The spinny?
I love the spinny
dust.
So good. That was a great move. Yeah, very, very good. And because she dusted him and then spun him too, it was great. Yeah.
I know. I feel like if the show is going to play fast and loose with like dusting rules, you know, how long it takes them to dust versus steak, whatever, you might as well get some good
content out of it. Agreed.
Out of it.
Agreed.
You know?
Yes.
More of this.
Yeah, more of this. 100%. So then we get Faith in Buffy's body looking at Buffy in Faith's body.
Here we go.
Fight in shoes. Mm. What a fight. What a scene. What a moment.
This could have been a three-parter. I would have been happy.
Yeah. Like this, so, you know, Faith in Buffy's body starts wailing on the visual of herself, calling her disgusting, nothing, a murderous bitch. She's not talking to Buffy. Is she?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It is deep. Sad.
It's so sad. So then Buffy...
So much self-loathing.
Oh, God. And Buffy grabs Faith's hand and they switch back. And as Faith runs away, Buffy grabs her chest as if to sort of acknowledge that she's kind of still, as she's going back into her own body, feeling all of the feelings that Faith was feeling right before they switched.
Yeah, 100%.
Completely,
yeah.
Suddenly, I mean, and she's already spent a day as Faith, you know, knowing what it feels like to feel constantly rejected and completely ostracized by everybody. And now she comes back into the body and genuinely feels Faith's feelings before they fade away and clutches at her heart to be like, oh, God, this hurts, you know? Oh. Beautiful scene. Beautiful scene. Mm. Amazingly done. So then next day, Buffy and Riley have a chat. Buffy realizes that Riley had sex with Faith, which I do kind of blame
him. As well as she
I do
can.
Kind of blame him. He should have known. She was not herself.
Who's on the lookout for body switching? You know, our personalities change based on how hungry we are.
I do agree. However, he should have known that something was up with Buffy. She was acting oddly and he should have been like, this isn't right. Something's wrong. What's going on? He didn't press her at all. He just went ahead and had sex because he was all like horny for her.
Listen, Bella's come home from some girls' nights out, drunk as a skunk, and
gone for it.
Could be a body switch. Could be a body switch. Who's to say? I'm not asking questions.
You know what?
No time.
I agree. I have to.
No time. Now look. Now look.
You've convinced me, Chris.
I'm sure Buffy has too. You know, who are we kidding?
So they're both pretty upset. I can't remember exactly how it happens. I love this cinematography, though, where you get this close-up of Buffy's face and she's kind of like got this beautifully pensive look on her face, and she's in you know, the right-hand frame of the screen, and she says something like, I don't think she's coming back or anything or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And it's clear that she's feeling, remembering what Faith has felt when she has to be herself, and then like slowly enter into screen Faith on the cargo train, and I love the two of them on the screen. That was beautiful. I thought that was nice. Anyway, clearly I'm alone.
No, it's good.
No, it's, I mean, I'm just this, it's such a strong episode, good episode from start to finish, but especially finish. Like, I think it's not one of those ones that it's all the ending. Like, I think it's an extremely strong ending, but I think it's just all of it, not just the amazing premise of the body switching and the emotional journey that Faith and Buffy go through from seeing their lives from each other's shoes, but like the bits of comedic relief and the dialogue and the, you know, the funny Giles and like the bits here and there. Like, it's still so Buffy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm a big fan.
It's great stuff. So death count. One vampire snapped by Adam. I mean, decapitated, I think, is a better.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Two vampires staked by Faith. One vampire burned in the sunlight by Riley. Oh, yeah, I forgot that. That guy ran away and then Riley was out there and took, you forgot your coat. Classic.
The rare sunlight death. Yeah. Pretty rare.
Yeah.
And then Boone staked by Buffy.
Yeah.
So a few vampires this episode. Only vampires. This is an interesting, we haven't had an only vampire episode for a while, I don't reckon.
Yeah.
So, Chris, tell us what your favorite quote is.
Look, you guys picked it towards the end there. How did you respond so fast? I didn't. I was just late for church. Fucking, I sent me, I'm like, oh my God. They know. They know how milquetoast Riley is. They get it.
They have played into it. They're leaning in.
Yeah. There are a couple little funny lines throughout this episode. But, and we already talked about how this is just peak Giles. So I'm just gonna give it to his line because his delivery is
perfect. Deliver it the way he would.
Waving his arms there. Our families are in there, our mothers and tiny, tiny babies.
If you hadn't done that line, Mabel, I was going to have to do two.
So funny.
And tiny, tiny babies.
The tiny, tiny babies.
It's the double tiny. It gets me every time.
Every timey, timey.
It's good. I've chosen this one because I think about this line all the time. Like, sometimes it just pops into my head. It's a really random line to just pop in my head all the time, but it does, because I find it, I thought it was just a funny way of expressing this whole idea. So Boone is in church and he's talking about, where's this thing I was so afraid of? You know, the Lord? He was supposed to be here. He gave us this address. I just enjoyed that.
Okay.
I don't know why. Okay. I just love the idea that the Lord is like, my address is the church. You know, I just enjoy the concept of, you know, where's the Lord? He gave us this address. You know, this is the church. Where is he? You know, I liked the whole concept of it. I always have.
That lines up.
It just has always stayed with me. Anyway, thank you for indulging me on that one. You didn't completely rake me over the coals for it, and I appreciate it.
Of course not.
I could see Mabel thought about it, but...
Yep, she did. She did.
God, you just have to remind me what an asshole I am usually.
No, I mean, it's usually Chris too. I mean, I think Chris thought about it too, to be honest. He's just better at hiding it. Yeah. Can Chris tell us what won the episode for you?
I'm going to answer your question with another question. Has hell frozen over? Because I got three letters. SMG. Let's go.
Oh,
let's go.
My
she
God.
Wins.
Whoa.
SMG all day.
Whoa. Wow.
OMG. SMG.
OMG. SMG. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
This is huge.
Big stuff.
My goodness. Oh my God. That is. This is unheard of.
I know.
Mark this guy. This went on your history calendars, guys. This is a big moment.
Oh.
Mabel. I don't think you can top that. The surprise of that.
I know. How do I even, I mean, I've just been gushing over every minute of this entire episode, you know? Like, how do I choose what wins it? I think I have to give it, as much as we all know I love everything in this episode, I'm going to especially give it to Faith the character. Uh-huh. Like, I think particularly Faith the character's journey throughout this episode. Mm-hmm. Was so compelling and interesting to watch her journey from start to finish. Because it was such a cliffhanger to come off of as well, you know, like it instantly switching bodies, and we just get her on the end of the last episode saying 5x5 to Joyce. Mm. And then from the very beginning of this episode to the end, even though a bunch of other stuff was happening and I've commented on how Buffy had some learning and experiences as well, it's really Faith's journey that was just like out of the world, out of this world.
Totally. No, I completely agree. Mm. I will slightly change. I'm basically you, but I'm just going to give it to a piece of dialogue that embodied that journey, and it's the "because it's wrong." I love that it goes from, you know, Faith staring in the mirror, mocking it, going, because it's wrong. And then she's with Spike and she's like, because it's wrong. And then at the end, the vampires say, why should we? And she's like, because it's wrong, you know. And it's a beautiful embodiment of exactly what you're saying, Mabel, this journey that she goes on throughout this episode, where she goes from like just thinking it's a lark to be in Buffy's body to sort of like starting to understand who Buffy is to then being like, I don't want to be this person anymore, you know? And that's her revelation. And it's really, really beautiful. And I love that. I think that line in particular, and I mean, obviously they specifically did that. It was a very, you know, it was a choice that they made, but I think it did a great job of doing exactly that, of telling the story of that arc that she goes on as a character. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally agree. It's kind of interesting. Again, like, who's to say how much more Faith we're going to get, or who's to say where this goes? But, you know, if we are going to get Faith development and more Faith in the future, and who's to say? But, I mean, what a powerful way to get there, you know? Like, as far as potential rehabilitation of a character goes, like, body swapping. Yeah. Like, this is a pretty ingenious way for us to, I don't know, almost like fast track a little bit of what Faith would have to learn some other way. Yeah. You know, like, this is a pretty clever way to get Faith to reflect on all.
And it is really, you know, and flipping it the other way, like, it is that idea of, you know, walk a mile in a man's shoes and you'll understand him a little better. And I think Buffy really has that moment, you know, where she gets to really understand, you know, she's been quite down on Faith a few times. Like, you know, she's been probably less in Faith's camp on a few occasions than even maybe Giles has been. But I think she's had this real opportunity now to see who Faith really is and what it's like to have lived Faith's life a little bit.
Exactly, which kind of opens a door, because it's not just like if Faith had gone off and, I don't know, like gone to some council rehabilitation centre or like done a lot of community service work or like met some other people and become a good person or something. If she were to then just sort of come back to the Scooby Gang and come back to Sunnydale and come back to Buffy, it creates a bit of a power imbalance, I suppose, where like Buffy and the gang have always been the righteous superiors and then Faith was the bad guy that then has to come like crawling back asking for forgiveness almost. Whereas I feel like having this body swapping where they both see things from each other's perspectives kind of equals the playing field a little bit more for Faith to be able to come back, but Buffy to be able to understand her a little more and not just, you know, expect Faith to come back all rehabilitated.
I agree. Yeah, good ep, guys. Good ep.
Love it.
Yeah. Solid ep. Chris, tell us where we can find you.
ChrisAaronis.com. But also, we've got another podcast, guys. Patreon. We're doing Angel. Every other week we're doing Angel. We've been enjoying it. It's been highs. There's been lows. Last episode
definitely
was on
high. Getting up there. Yeah, it's getting better.
Check that one out.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
get amongst it. Mabel.
Yeah. My other podcast, Sex Ed and Chill Pod, on all the things, where we've been wrapping up season 4 of the Netflix show Sex Education. So
quick.
Yeah. You can find me in regional Victoria as of next week. But you can find us on all of the things. Buffy Australia. Check us out. We sometimes post there.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
We sometimes post, but we always read your messages.
We do.
That is true.
True story. Always. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
See you later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Australians watching Buffy. It's Buffy the Vampire Strayer.
Welcome to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where three Australians talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode by episode.
The first one was so strong. We just had to do a little re-record for some technical difficulties. The first one was so strong and you've just eaten it.
We still have the first one.
Yeah, maybe we'll just sub
that. I think we should keep them both. Nailed it.
This is going to be the end of the episode, I hope.